Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from George Mason University. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, John Schuhart, Graybeard Coaching. Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Mark Troutman, George Mason University, Mark Friedman, Expense to Profit, Kevin Albrego, Old Dominion National Bank, and we have a great lineup of guests for you on our show today. John, will you please give us the rundown?
Sure, Herb. Our first guest is Samuel Kelly, Executive Director of Bridges to Independence. Then we'll talk to Eva Newman, CEO and President of ENC Strategy. Our third guest is Patrick Keenan, President of Phoenix International Holdings Incorporated. And our last guest is James Quigley, CEO and co-founder of Canvas.
Let's get to know our first guest, Samuel Kelly, Executive Director of Bridges to Independence. Samuel, what is Bridges to Independence? What kind of stuff do you guys do?
Bridges to Independence is a nonprofit organization in which we bridge families out of homelessness into stable and independent futures.
How large is the staff, and how many folks do you help on an annual basis?
22 staff, about 100 volunteers.
Wow. Where are you from? Where are you from originally?
I'm originally from a small town, DeRidder, Louisiana.
And what was the population of that small town when you were growing up?
12,000.
And what did Mom and Dad do for a living back then?
Dad was a pastor. Mom was a stay-at-home mom.
Dad was a pastor. Mom was a stay-at-home mom. So your dad was pretty well respected in this community, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Uh-huh. And what kind of sports did you play as a kid?
I played baseball.
Baseball. And what was your role on that team?
Pitcher, first baseman, outfielder.
What do you mean, pitcher, first baseman, outfielder?
Well, I played a variety of roles on the team. Pitching was my number one priority. After that, I would move to first base. And then if help was needed in the outfield, I'd be moved there.
Earlier, when we were getting to know you in the green room, you told me that you were the one that everybody could count on. Isn't that true?
That's correct.
What do you mean by that?
Meaning if we needed a hit at the plate, I was typically the number one batter or the number four batter. Mm-hmm. I started out the game pitching because I had the best control and the strongest arm, mm-hmm. and I had a reliable glove.
Uh-huh. So you were the one that had to be counted on, and you don't seem to be very egotistical getting to know you. It seems to me like you really are the kind of like guy that can be counted on. I'm wondering, what's that have to do with this organization, with you running this organization as the executive director, Bridges to Independence?
Well, I just try to do the best that I can for the folks that we serve to bridge them to their next future. It's not anything really to be egotistical about. It's just something that I love to do.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned when you were a kid, one of your friends got bullied. Well, what happened? What role did you play in that unlocking that bullying?
Well, there were about four kids trying to fight one guy, and I just stepped in between them. And actually just started a conversation to get to the bottom or the root of the problem, asking the questions why. That forced the conversation, and afterwards, amazingly, we all became friends together.
Wait a minute, how old were you when that happened?
9 years old.
You were 9 years old, and as opposed to getting into the fight, what did you do?
I just stepped in between and forced the conversation.
Uh-huh. What's that have to do with what you're doing nowadays?
Same thing, mediating problems and situations for families to be able to cross hurdles and move to the next destination.
So at one point in time, I think you were in college, you mentioned to us, somebody told you that you were a good listener. You didn't realize that until somebody told you that you were a good listener, like what you did at 9 years old.
That's correct.
Uh-huh. What's listening have to do with being the executive director of Bridges to Independence?
It has everything to do with it, being in tune with not only the families and individuals that we serve, but also to the staff, in trying to determine what's needed for the folks that we're serving in order to attain the ultimate success for those people.
Mm-hmm. Who's got the next question?
So you're more like your father or your mother?
More like my father.
Mm-hmm. And what do you mean by that?
My father was, again, very well respected, but I also, as a kid, looked at him as to be a great listener. He had many relationships, many friends throughout the community, and seemed to be relied and called upon often for a variety of situations.
Mm, so you learned about being counted on by your dad's modeling, huh?
Correct.
Uh-huh. Who's got the next one?
Sam, when or how young were you when you realized you had what I call presence?
Probably about 14 years old.
And what prompted that? How did you realize that?
Well, I was always a lot taller than the folks that were in my class, but it wasn't until one day, you know, just run-of-the-mill day, there was another. These situations always tend to come up, and I was the guy that folks always wanted to speak with. And a friend of mine told me that I was a really good listener and that I should actually consider doing that for a living.
All right. Kevin, did you have a question?
How do you measure success?
For my families that I serve, I measure success by them being able to move from homelessness into the future that they desire for themselves. For me personally, it's by doing knowing that I've done the very best I can for my family and for the families that
As a kid, you mentioned that you didn't really realize some of the stuff that was going on back then, you know, how well respected your dad was, because you were like, sort of like in it. And what was that all about? And I'm wondering what you learned from that you're applying nowadays.
Well, my father was always the kind of guy that seemed to be relatively easy to talk to. And I didn't realize that I had, I guess, similar characteristics again until I was a teenager, and it just continued to grow, or that skill set continued to grow as I got older through college and now in my career.
So this ability to listen, to understand people, that's helped you build the team at this organization known as Bridges to Independence, as well as help serve your clients?
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. Sam, earlier, tell us what you told us earlier about your mom.
My mom was primarily a homemaker, but she was the rock of the family. She held everything together.
And how do you model that at Bridges for Independence?
Stability. I always want to be the one that's even keel. I never want to get too excited. I never want to seem too overwhelmed. I always want to be on par, to hold it together, not only for the staff, but for the families.
I thought the executive director got to go in late and get, you know, has these fancy-dancy lunches with cocktails and filet mignon, and then gets to go home early. It doesn't sound to me like you're that kind of guy.
Not at all. Definitely not filet mignon. Maybe McDonald's or Burger King when I can catch a break.
What time do you start with emails and do you start working in the morning?
About 6 a.m.
What time do you finish at night?
Last night I finished at 10.
And do you have to work weekends?
All the time.
Uh-huh. Do you get paid overtime for doing all that stuff?
Absolutely not.
Then why do you bother doing it? What, are you crazy or something?
I love it.
You love what? What do you mean?
I love watching families come from horrible situations and transform their lives to remarkable situations.
What are you talking about?
I've seen families come to us with absolutely nothing, and I've seen those very same families leave from us in a matter of 3 months with the savings and the ability to move into their own apartment 3 to 6 months after that, into their own home. And a year after that, we've had families to purchase their own homes because of the work that we've put into them.
How does that make you feel?
Fantastic.
What do you mean?
It's what life is all about. I love giving of myself. I love the commitment, not only that I give to our families, but that our staff gives to our families.
How do you bring that love to Bridges to independence?
Just every day. It's a part of me as a kid. My father and my mom both instilled that in me as a kid. And I think it also has a large
instilled
part
what,
to do with
instilled what in you as a kid?
Instilled the ability to love and care for others
how'd
and
they
to
do
put
that?
Others first.
How'd they do that? They tell you?
They taught me, but it was also through my upbringing in church.
So what are you talking about?
So
what do you mean?
You kind of used a key.
No, excuse me. What do you mean? What do you mean your upbringing in church? What do you mean?
Church, outside of baseball, church was my life. Again, my father was a pastor, so through the teachings that I received there, I was always put in positions to either lead or to teach, or either I was just there to be a part of what was going on. And
so in church, your dad put you in positions where you had to step up to the plate, and you did.
Yes.
To the community.
Absolutely.
Was it to the other adults, to the kids? What did that look like?
It was to adults, to kids, more so to kids. Seemed like I was able to relate a little bit more to the kids who were my age or younger than me, and also to adults. Adults always told me that I had a great ability to listen, so people would always just talk to me. Not that they were wanting a response, but...
So as opposed to feeling intimidated or scared or frightened, you just stepped up to the plate to do this stuff.
Yeah, I guess that's correct.
Do you and you don't get paid anything for extra for putting in these long hours, do you?
No.
So what? Why do you do it?
I love it. It's just in me.
And you actually go and talk to the people? I mean, you're not sitting in your fancy dancy office?
No, not at all. I love getting out and being amongst the people. I want to know how their day has been. I want to know
what's the website? What's the website address of this organization?
Bridges2.org.
We've been speaking to Samuel Kelly, Executive Director of Bridges to Independence, here on Executive Leaders Radio. We'll be back in a moment right after this business spotlight. And your name is?
Alan Barmack.
And Alan, what organization are you with?
I am the VP of Sales for WearAware.
What is WearAware? What do you guys do?
We are a digital marketing agency.
What's a digital marketing agency? What are you talking about?
So we do everything online. We build websites, mobile apps, SEO, pay-per-click, email marketing.
And what kind of businesses do you do this stuff for?
Well, we work with businesses all over the world, both on the B2B and B2C side.
So businesses that are selling business to business as well as business to consumer, you're helping them with their digital strategy.
Yes.
And what do you like about that stuff?
Well, I love, just from the sales side, I always focus on the needs analysis approach to sales, is asking the prospect what they want and delivering it to them. And with all the tools that we have nowadays, we can do that.
So you like meeting with the clients and figuring out what kind of help they need?
Yes, asking them what their issues are, challenges, needs, and priorities, and then matching the tools that we have to get them.
I thought sales was sell them what you got. You're telling me that you don't want to sell them what you got. You want to sell them what they need?
Sell them what they need. If you can ask a prospect what they need and you can deliver a solution that fits their needs,
but
you've got to
really be listening to them. You got to really be able to help them and be listening to them. And I guess you need to develop a relationship with them also. Otherwise, they're not going to trust you.
That's the old rule in sales. People buy from who they know, like, and trust.
So your specialty is developing relationships, and oh, by the way, you just happen to know a lot about this digital stuff.
I've been doing it for 20 years, and yes, using the tools that we have to deliver.
Do you have personal relationships with your clients?
Absolutely, you have
to. Well, what's the website address of your organization?
WearAware.com.
Let me have that one more time.
WHEREOWARE.com.
This has been your Business Spotlight.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people with credit card debt. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, the first step is yours.
Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-350-3241. 800-350-3241. That's 800-350-3241. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM 19, Oregon DM 80031. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number DC32.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, and we'd like to introduce Eva Newman, CEO and President of ENC Strategy. Eva, what is ENC Strategy? What are you guys doing?
We are a strategic communications firm, been in business for 20 years. We work with government agencies, technology companies, and any organization that is trying to communicate complex topics. So it might be rolling out a cloud solution to an enterprise global organization, or it may be announcing a new product, or it may be dealing with change management.
You're like a master communicator. You're helping your clients that are dealing with complex communication issues make things simple, make things understandable. Where are you from originally?
Originally from here, but grew up in Boston, outside of Boston, Massachusetts.
And how old is this organization, by the way?
Over 20 years.
20 years, okay. And how many brothers and sisters do you have?
One sister.
And older or younger?
She's a twin.
She's a twin,
She is a younger.
All right, so you're a twin. And tell us a little bit about who you were 8 to 14 years old in terms of the kids in the neighborhood.
Oh, I grew up in a neighborhood of kids running wild in the streets and playing in the woods and leave the house early in the morning and come back as close to dinner as you could missing dinner.
What did you guys used to do as kids out in the outdoors? What were you doing?
We played in the woods and we built forts and we could wander through the woods wherever we wanted to go. We had farmland nearby, so we would explore the farms.
And what was your role in doing all that stuff in terms of the other kids?
I was the one running around seeing who was outside to play and gathering the crew.
So you were gathering in the crew. Were you also helping to define what everybody was going to do that day?
Probably.
What's that have to do with starting this organization 20 years ago known as ENC Strategy?
Interesting question. I enjoy bringing people together. I love the power of words and graphics and different types of communications.
Earlier you mentioned when
behavior.
You were a kid that there was a political campaign, you were doing something, and but you took your own, you did something a little strange there. What'd you do?
Well, back in elementary school, so going back a long way, we had our elections for student government.
Yep.
And I developed a campaign where it was basically a get out the vote campaign, where I developed posters that had everybody's political poster on it. And I explained to the teachers that it was important not just to get people to understand that their friends were voting, but that it was important for everybody to vote and everybody to contribute. So
you really started your communications firm when you were in how old then?
I was probably 10 or 11.
Isn't that what you do for nowadays for a living, is you try to make things simple and try to provide a balance to what you're doing?
We're storytellers. Mm-hmm. We try and tell the story, and we tell the story based on messaging that's appropriate for each
Sounds
audience.
Sounds like you were doing that as a kid. How about that? Who's got the next question here? Kevin?
Eva, it strikes me that you take things that people fundamentally don't understand. Not only do you take them to the point of understanding, but buy-in.
Correct.
Where did that come from?
I think that comes from basically a solution, because communications and any type of outreach or marketing or communications has to end in a result. It has to be. It has to do something. It's not just an activity.
Kevin,
so
were there fundamentals in your early careers of jobs? You said earlier that you had several at a young age that you still carry on today.
Early jobs that I carry on today.
Fundamentals from those.
Yeah. Oh, fundamentals from those. I think pulling together a good group of people that bring diverse skills. And have a similar work ethic and a sense of satisfaction from doing a job and doing it well. Kind of people flock together.
Where did that come from? You're talking about so pulling the team together. What makes a good team? Give me that again.
People that have complementary but diverse skills, and sometimes diverse may mean a different way of approaching things, but the ability to come to a decision together.
Why would you want people that are different than you on the team?
Because if we had a lot of me's on the team, certainly my company would not be where it is today. We all offer something different, and we all offer a different perspective on how to come to a decision.
I see. So in order to serve your clients, you want to make sure you have a bunch of opinions in the room so your clients really benefit from the diversity of opinions.
Definitely. And it's not just our opinion. It's our clients' opinion. We work in a very collaborative approach.
So where do you get that skill from, mom or dad?
Oh, probably dad. Dad was an engineer, electrical engineer, and worked on computers very early, so he was a problem solver.
This theme of service, how young were you when you realized you might want to serve a purpose other than your own edification or advancement?
The generation that I grew up in was very moved by equality and service and making the country a better country. And people were very vocal about it. It's back in the 60s and the 70s.
So what was your first volunteer activity as a kid?
First volunteer activity, working for Planned Parenthood.
And how did that affect the arc of your career?
I knew pretty early on that I wanted to do something to serve and help people, basically help people. And when I got into school, I realized that I could do the helping of people, but also combine that with
Where'd that come from, mom or dad, this thing where you wanted to help people, and how'd that occur to you?
I think it actually came from watching the news in the 60s
What do you mean?
70s.
What are you talking about? What do you mean?
Watching the riots and...
And how'd watching the riots affect you?
Knowing that there were people that were less... that were disadvantaged and weren't able to
have the
same
assets.
I did at a young age.
Really?
Yeah.
So as opposed to just worrying about buying a newer car or getting a newer toy, you that bothered you?
I didn't grow up where we got the newest toys and we had the newest car. Mm-hmm. My parents instilled a very strong work ethic.
Where were your grandparents from? Where were your parents from?
My parents are both from Germany. My family's 100% German.
I wonder how that affected them.
They grew up during end of World War I, World War II. My parents had us late in life and immigrated to this country and brought the values of hard work and self-sufficiency.
Did that have anything to do with how you felt about the riots? The fact that your parents, had a lot of empathy?
I think there was a real concern that, and this gets pretty deep, but that the United States is a place where people can have a freedom of religion.
That's where we want to go. It's very deep. Kevin, what are you thinking?
The team that you have now and the ability to have perspective, what attributed most to your perspective? International, family,
Yeah, what did it?
Perspective in leadership or in
ability to communicate and understand the perspective that your clients are looking for and have.
One, I grew up in a very intellectually curious environment, and we traveled a lot. So I grew up learning about different cultures, and I was not afraid at an early age to be in an international airport or to be in an area where people spoke different languages or looked different than my family did. So I'm very comfortable and appreciate what diverse people and thoughts
you appreciate
can bring.
The diverse thoughts.
And then you have the conversation to gain the understanding between those diverse thoughts.
Cool.
Which again goes back to communications.
And what's the website address of this organization, the ENC Strategy?
ENC Strategy. And the website, did you ask?
Yes.
ENCStrategy.com.
Oneword.com.
ENCStrategy.
With Eben Newman, CEO and President of ENC Strategy here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. That's executiveleadersradio.com. Learn more about our executive leaders. And we will be back in a moment right after this business spotlight. Stick around.
Have you heard about BizTV? BizTV is the home for America's entrepreneurs, small businesses, and those who want to succeed in life. It's the only national television network committed to airing original, high-quality, educational, and inspirational programming about real business people. BizTV can provide the right kind of ideas, motivation, and education to help fuel the next generation of business owners. Visit BizTV.com and call your satellite or cable service provider to request BizTV.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
Get that spring flooring project done with incredible deals from Lumber Liquidators. This week at the best selection of Woodlook waterproof flooring, up to 24% off. All water-resistant Dream Home Ultra X2O laminate is 11 to 13% off. And get 10% off pre-finished engineered hardwood and engineered bamboo. They're great for every environment and every level of your home. More deals from 69 cents plus special financing. Get the perfect floor with deals from Lumber Liquidators today.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
If you are struggling to pay or haven't been making your student loan payments, listen carefully to this urgent alert. Have you been out of school for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? Are your student loans past due or even in default? Can't go back to school because of an old student loan problem? Fast Track Student Loans can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop collection calls, and stop seizure of your tax refund. Give yourself a break. Stop the stress and get your student loan payments down to as little as $25 a month based on what you can afford to pay. One quick 10-minute call could help you solve your student loan problems. So call right now. Not available in all states. Payments may vary based on income.
800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. That's 800-685-0129. National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to a $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Patrick Keenan, president of Phoenix International Holdings. Patrick, what do you guys do at Phoenix International Holdings?
Worldwide underwater service provider. So deep ocean search and recovery, underwater welding on ships and structures, repair, maintenance of pipelines, offshore oil support infrastructure.
So the common thread here is diving, isn't it?
Well, diving, but we also use remotely operated vehicles and autonomous undersea vehicles. So we don't always put a person in the water to solve the problem.
How large or how small is this organization?
235 people working in about in 8 locations in the U.S. and one overseas, and 60 to 70 million revenue annually.
How old is the organization?
20 years.
How long you've been the, it says here you're the president of it.
I've been the president since November 1st of 2016, but I've been with the company for 2.5 years.
All right. And where are you from originally?
I grew up in Central Jersey, Princeton.
And how many brothers and sisters?
I'm the oldest. I have one younger brother and two younger sisters.
So you're the oldest of four. And what was the effect of you growing up the oldest of four in Central Jersey?
Well, I learned some leadership skills. I was...
When you say you learned some leadership skills, did mom and dad tell you to take on this responsibility, or did you just take it on?
It was implied that I would help, and I think it made sense to me that I could help out with younger siblings.
What do you mean it was implied? Tell us a little bit about mom and dad. Where are they from?
Well, my father is from an immigrant family. He's one of nine. Eight survived. One died on the trip from Ireland. And my mother was from a family that, unfortunately, she was orphaned relatively young.
Oh, how do you know all that stuff, and how did all that stuff affect you?
Well, I think it affected me indirectly. Their relationships with their parents and their lives basically changed the way they were, and so I saw that. I saw a work ethic, a tenacity, and a desire to succeed because they came from, I would call it, say, hard scrabble, but loving environments.
Uh-huh. I understand at the age of 17, you took a trip. Why don't you tell us what led up to that and what happened?
Well, I was a track athlete in high school. I really enjoyed pole vaulting. I was pretty good at it. I was a county champ, and I got hurt. I couldn't do it anymore. I fractured some vertebrae in my back and didn't have anything holding me to my high school, so I decided to go overseas as an American Field Service International student scholar. I lived with a family in Uruguay for 1 year.
So you grew up near Princeton, fancy dancy Princeton, and at the age of 17 you decided to go to Uruguay. I guess that's because you spoke Spanish well.
No, I didn't speak the language at all. The American Field Service, which was founded by some ambulance drivers after World War II.
All right. So you're 17 years old, you don't speak Spanish, and you decided to go to Uruguay. Who'd you go with?
I didn't actually decide to go to Uruguay. I put my name in a pot, and Uruguay came out. It was a match. I went by myself and lived with an Uruguayan family.
So you went to a country in another part of the world by yourself, not speaking the native language at 17.
Correct.
Doesn't that take a lot of guts?
I don't know if it takes guts. I wanted to see the world. I was interested in getting out of my town and seeing how others lived and learning.
Didn't you tell us as a kid, 8 to 14 years old, that you used to look at globes or something like that? What was that all about?
I was always interested in maps and globes and far-off places, and I wanted to see them.
Uh-huh. So tell us a little bit about what you learned by the time you were 18 and came back that you didn't know when you were 17 and left.
Well, I was exposed to cultures that were different than mine. I lived on the border between Uruguay and Brazil. I saw people living in different manners than I had lived, but also realized that what was important to them was also what was important to me, health, family, and some success.
Wait a minute. You're telling me that they're different, but they're the same?
Well, I think the major desires of most humans are similar. Yes.
So this business that you're running, which is has to do with water, either people going under it to do things or mechanical things going under it to do things, is you're president of Phoenix International Holdings. I'm wondering what you learned between the ages of 17 and 18 that helped you build this business.
Well, what we do is innovatively solve problems that have a maritime bent, often in an isolated situation, on an oil rig or on a vessel. And what I learned was that people have different perspectives, and if you can focus those different perspectives in a team way, in a constructive way, you can solve those types of problems. And it's quite, it's challenging, but it's very satisfying, and it can be profitable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Patrick, we had a discussion earlier about the subject of risk, and it's very clear from what you've said that you're willing to engage in taking risk, and inherently your business line is pretty risky. Where did you learn to do that?
Well, I was interested in diving as a young person, and I started diving as a teenager off the Jersey coast on wrecks. And then I went through college on a Navy ROTC scholarship and became a Navy diver. And I think having some risk associated with what you do gives you a little bit more satisfaction. When you're going out to make a 300-foot dive with a team and you all come back and you're all safe afterwards, and you've met the objective of the mission, there's a significant amount of satisfaction that you put more than just money on the line.
Kevin?
Well, as a leader, certainly making decisions is important, and you've got some history in making big decisions. What do you think you can attribute those to, your father, your mother?
I think I took some of the same qualities from both of my parents, and that was a strong work ethic and also willingness to listen. It was a traditional household. My father was the boss, but he was very respectful of all of our opinions, including my mother's, and she was a very bright person. I learned to listen to others' opinions and to use their strengths to help forge a solution that could be beneficial to the team that I was working with.
Has being a parent influenced you?
Oh yes, being a parent is fabulous.
How many children do you
have? I have two boys.
How old are they?
One is 22. He's graduating from college.
And the other one, 22 and
19.
What did you learn from these kids that are 22 and 19 that have helped you in business? That's fascinating.
Never, ever, ever give up.
What are you talking about? Are you being serious?
We moved many times. We my oldest son was born in Singapore. We've moved every 2 years. We take these young men and put them in a new environment that they don't know anyone. We move to a place the day before school starts. Go make the football team. Get A's. Do well. Okay.
Wow. And what's that taught you? What have you learned from that you've applied to business?
Resilience. If I can watch my young men in my house do it, I should be able to do it also.
Well, you certainly are. I mean, you're the one who went with 17 to Uruguay. John?
From pole vaulting over, an obstacle to problem solving to moving around, this whole family history revolves around overcoming obstacles.
Mm-hmm.
How young were you when you knowingly started overcoming obstacles? Give us some examples.
Well, I started diving when I was a teenager, and I think you...
What about younger?
Well, I had a paper out with the Trenton Times and Evening Courier when I was 12, and I had a little lawn cutting business when I was 12 and 14.
Whose idea was it to start those businesses?
Well, mine, but I wanted to make some money, so
uh-huh.
I don't think it was...
And what did you do different than the other kids that had those jobs?
Well, I don't know that I did too much differently except that I worked on my own equipment. My father, we never had a new car growing up. We had two or three or four old cars, and my father was always working on them, and I was able to learn some of that, and so I fixed my own lawnmowers, and I developed an interest in practical and mechanical.
You think there's any benefit of anything about fixing your own cars and fixing mechanical stuff then that helps you nowadays in your business?
Yes. We solve technical problems. I'm not always the person that's solving them. In general, I'm putting the team together. But being able to convey the potential solution to a client and sell it, it's helpful to have a mechanical aptitude in order to do that.
John?
Patrick, it strikes me that you've gone a step beyond that. There's an immense amount of competence that you're speaking to, but you're inherently getting your team to do very, very risky stuff. How do you do that?
Well, you have the right people. Most of the people in our company, all of them, are interested in taking some risk. We like the challenge. We are doing a job right now that we were told by the client that the ship would have to go into dry dock, and we bid the job at cost just to prove that we could do it in the water. We started the job in Sri Lanka. We moved to New Zealand to do the second phase, and we're going to finish it next month in Oman, and we will do it in the water. We won't make a lot of money, but we will get a new client, and we will have a team-building exercise that's very hard to duplicate.
So you really you love a challenge.
Yes.
You really enjoy a challenge, and it sounds to me like the folks you work with, you're really a leader. I mean, they really trust you. It sounds like they really respect you because you're walking the talk and talking the talk and all that other stuff.
Well, I would hope they do. I respect them.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it sounds like it. It sounds like the way you treat your sons is the way you treat your teammates. I mean, you know, you really believe that it develops. You look for character, don't you?
Yes, and we have a lot of blue-collar workers in my company.
Yeah,
they're very, very bright, motivated people.
Yeah, you really respect your people. You really find the best in people, and it sounds like they really respond to you because, you know, you truly are a leader. What's the website address of this organization?
phnx-international.com.
Let me have that one more time.
phnx-international.com.
We've been speaking with Patrick Keenan, president of Phoenix International Holdings, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. It's executiveleadersradio.com. We'll be back in a moment right after this break. And your name is?
Calliope Vlastos.
And Calliope, what organization are you with?
I'm with Canvas.
And what is Canvas?
Canvas is a platform that helps businesses eliminate paperwork and improve efficiency by filling out forms on smartphones and tablets.
And what's your role in the organization?
VP of Inside Sales.
So what's that mean? What do you do?
I work with our direct sales team to solve customer problems with our platform.
So when you're talking to customers or you're talking to the internal team, what do?
I do a little bit of both, mostly working and coaching our reps to connect with customers, ask them questions, and understand their critical business needs.
Wait a minute. So you're trying to help your team as well as directly talk to the clients to help understand what their needs are in order to help solve their problems?
Exactly.
So you're not trying to sell them what you got. You're trying to help them help understand what they need so that you can then customize a solution for them.
We know that we win a customer for life when we dramatically change their work lives and conditions. So that's we take a very consultative approach to improve that.
So when you say a consultative approach, what do you mean by that?
Ask a lot of questions, understand their challenges, their frustrations, and then customize our platform to suit their needs.
Huh. And what do you like about your job?
The people and the product. Our product is second to none, thanks to our dev team. And we just have a startup mentality. Everyone works really hard and has a lot of fun doing it.
You're smiling. What that really turns you on, doesn't it?
Yeah, of course.
Which is the best piece of that?
Oh, the people.
The people.
Sure.
So you really enjoy coaching your team, don't you?
I've got a great team.
Huh. What's the website address of this organization?
It's gocanvas.com, and you can sign up for a free trial.
Let me have that again.
Gocanvas.com. GOCANVAS.com.
And this has been your Business Spotlight.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-616-2130. That's 800-616-2130. 800-616-2130.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
How deep in debt are you? $10,000? $15,000? Maybe even more? And every day that goes by, you know what happens. Your debt gets larger and larger and larger. Well, if you've had it with your mushrooming debt problem and the stress it is causing you, make this free call today to the Debt Solutions Network. One quick no-obligation call is all it takes for one of our partner companies to show you how they can help you get out of debt. So if you have $10,000 or more in combined debt and you want to learn how you can solve it, make this free, no-obligation call now.
800-814-5035. 800-814-5035.
If you are in serious debt, you have to get out of it and fast. Call my friends at the Debt Solutions Network now.
800-814-5035. 800-814-5035. Call us 24/7. 800-814-5035.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is the host, Herb Cohen. I'd like to introduce Mr. Steve Gelat, who's president and CEO of an organization called RGI. Steve, what is RGI?
We're a software development firm that specializes in both geospatial and temporal solutions, primarily for the U.S. government.
That sounds pretty complex to me. How large or how small is this organization?
This year, we're planning on hitting around $11 or $12 million in revenue.
And how'd you get a job with this business?
Founded it back in 2010.
You started the business. Where are you from originally?
Originally from upstate New York, but I've lived down here in the D.C. metro area.
And how many brothers and sisters do you have?
I'm one of four.
And where are you in the pecking order?
Three out of four.
You're three out of four. What did that do to you, being the third out of four?
I had to compete with my older sister for the middle spot. Both of us were the middle child.
So tell us a little bit. You told us earlier when you were a kid that you used to play with your sister. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, the two of us played fairly well together in the sense of she'd play with my Matchbox cars when I wanted to, and I'd play with her Barbie dolls when she wanted to.
What did that teach you about people?
Really played to each other's strengths, what we enjoyed. We both enjoyed what both brought to the table and interact with each other.
So you played with your sister's dolls, you played with your toys, your trucks, and so on and so forth, and you learned from that. Give me that again.
How to work with other people with diverse backgrounds.
Uh-huh. When you were 13, you told us you got a job when you were 13 as a referee for the soccer team, right?
Yes.
Uh-huh. How many of the 13-year-old kids had that job?
I don't really remember. Maybe one or two others.
Uh-huh. Did any of them ever have it as long as you?
No, I became fairly senior pretty quickly.
Why was that? Why did you have that gig for 6 years? Why were you able to withstand that gig for 6 years? Why did the parents keep you in that role? Why did the coaches want you as the referee for 6 years?
Well, I really enjoyed being out there interpreting the laws of soccer, applying them on the soccer field, and helping the other referees learn how to be a better referee.
Well, wait a minute. No. Yeah, Courtney.
Is that why you like to interpret geospatial data now?
It could be. I mean, it's all how do you interpret play on? How do you let the kids maximize their experience on that soccer field?
So interpretation really matters
to
you, which is different than translation.
Yeah.
Well, why?
I mean, if I go very scientific, you know, which is... the translation is just reinterpreting the data versus the actual understanding what the data or the information is trying to tell you. It's the difference between like cellular location data and traffic predictions that Google's giving you.
So Courtney, sum up what you just guys, because I just missed that. Give me that again.
So understanding what the data means is different than just rearticulating it.
Yes, it's much different. I mean, that's really what you
and
want.
And what's that have to do with refereeing?
In the sense of play on is just interpreting the laws and what's the best experience you can give to the soccer players.
Okay, I just wanted to see the connection there. Who's got the next question?
You mentioned early on, at some one point, 6 games per Saturday. I mean, where's that coming from?
Yeah, it was fun. You were only supposed to referee 3 games per Saturday, but I quickly found myself doing 6 games. And it's just because I love being out in the sunshine and mm-hmm. working with the coaches, working with the players.
Sean? Yeah, so, you know, three siblings, 4 total. That's a big family. Are you close with them now?
Yeah, we are a family-oriented business. Just about everyone in the family, with the exception of my oldest sister, is heavily involved in the firm.
How's that? What do you mean?
My sister started off as my accountant. She keeps the books straight. My brother is a key advisor of mine, where I bounce off the new business ideas on where the direction we want to head.
And mom and
on.
Yeah, mom and dad.
How were your mom and dad involved?
Yeah, they're both investors. When I left big business, I had a large vacation pool that was my side of the investment. My parents matched that investment, and my brother invested as well.
What motivated you to leave that big firm and start your own business?
Yeah, my last stint with big business was over in London, and we were drinking beers one night around the table with a lot of the graybeard senior VPs, and they spent the evening comparing the materials that they had acquired over the years and who had the biggest material. And I couldn't see myself in another 20, 30 years sitting around that table competing. I wanted more meaning in my life.
What do you mean you wanted more meaning in your life? What are you talking about?
I wanted to deliver. I wanted to do better in the sense of actually pride myself on the results that I brought to the market, not the materials I withdrew from the market.
Mm-hmm. How about... Wait. Give me that again.
Delivering stuff to the market versus driving materials from the market. So what am I giving back to society versus what am I draining society?
That's not what I read in the newspapers. I thought the CEO was, you're a money grubber. What are you talking about, what you give back?
The most successful CEOs you talk to, money is not a driver. It's really success. It's really the passion we have for the industry that we work in.
Gene?
So it's not really a competition thing for you. It's
the only person I truly compete with is myself. I really fight, unless I'm playing Trivial Pursuit. It's really, how can I be a better person, and how can I drive everyone around me to be the best that they can be?
And when did that first manifest itself? Did you ever teach anyone from an early age, share your knowledge?
Yeah, I mean, soccer referee, when I was in computer science class, I was constantly mentoring the 3-4 students to the left of me in class.
Why?
Because I enjoy it.
What about it do you enjoy?
Watching them learn, watch them understand in terms of computer science, watch them understand the logic that fits in and how that can be applied in any scenario.
And because you can.
Yes.
Given that you have so much family in your company, what would you describe the culture as being?
I can't get away from it in some sense. You go to holidays at your parents' house and everyone's talking to you about the company. So that's a unique aspect. Internally, everyone knows we're an extremely family-oriented environment where we take care of each other. We're team-driven, but we take care of each other at the same time.
What does that mean? Do you have different benefits, or do you do different cool things for your employees?
We do a corporate holiday party. I've taken everyone to St. Thomas, San Juan twice, Chicago, Dove Mountain, Arizona.
And are it's you just, hiring?
Yes, we are. Just seeing everyone and their significant other walking around a resort with a huge smile on their face. It just, that brings you joy.
Wait, what brings you joy?
Watching everyone smile as they enjoy themselves, as they experience life.
Who's paying for that vacation?
Technically, my parents, 49%, me, 49%, my brother, too.
So, but that really turns you on.
Yeah.
Huh. What's the website address for your organization?
It's rgi-corp.com.
Let me have that one more time.
rgi-corp.com.
We've been speaking with Steve Gillott, President and CEO of RGI, here on Executive Leaders Radio. We've also had the opportunity of speaking with Courtney Spaeth, CEO of Growth Period, Mark Viso, CEO of PACT, Manoj Dalia, co-president of KGD Architecture, and again, most recently, Steve Gillott, President and CEO of RGI. I'd like to thank my co-hosts, Kat Grimsley, George Mason University, Carrie Hatch, MDB Communications, Jane Woodruff, and Deanna Burke from Dunlap, Bennett, and Ludwig, the law firm, for giving me a hand structuring the questions, hopefully providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. I'd like to thank our listening audience for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. It's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. And Kat, what is the website address for George Mason University? Yes.
Mm-hmm. GMU.com.
GMU.edu. GMU.edu. Have a nice day. Bye-bye.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
Biz Talk Radio.